This call is being recorded.
Alrighty, hello. I am hoping that on this last Q&A call that some of you have the opportunity to call in. I did receive a question ahead of time, and I will get right into that. Also, I don't know why I'm going to even announce this. I was going to say, and please mute your phone, but there isn't anybody on but me right now, so I will have to tell people that when they get on the phone. Okay, let me look up the question since nobody is here. Okay, so I have a client who sent a question about a situation she's finding herself in. Excuse me. She feels that the last couple of podcasts have hit it on the head. She's not sure what to do to solve this issue, meaning feeling her feelings. She's found an available man that is everything she's ever wished for and can't seem to stop fixating on the things he does that irritate me. It's as if he acted like an asshole to me, I wouldn't be feeling this way. I had no idea what a healthy relationship was, and now that I'm in one, I feel like running. So what I'm struggling with is that feeling to run. Is it because I truly don't want to be with him, or am I afraid because there is no drama or struggle? This is so fucking funny. and I say this because it has to be a theme, right? Like in a lot of my sessions with people, I have about 5 or 6 clients that are in this exact same position. So it's been something I've been talking about in sessions. And I experienced it myself when I got into an available relationship, you know, with a guy who is totally available, is totally great. He's not perfect. He's not my perfect partner. And that is part of the problem that we run into. Because for most of us who have been unavailable, who have insecure attachment issues, what ends up happening is we come up with the perfect partner. I know I've talked about the perfect partner situation before, but we expect somebody to possess qualities that are pretty much not happening. You know what I mean? Like, I think he has to be a lawyer and he has to make $1 million a year and he has to fly me all over the place and he has to do this and he has to do that. And we assign all of this to these people, you know, to the people we date. And a lot of times we may not even be realizing that we have this checklist and it's all the perfect partner. And it comes from, you know, like when I just wrote off that list right now, it comes from a lack of security perhaps in my own life. It comes from an upbringing where maybe money was important or a man wasn't deemed successful unless he was wealthy, okay? And if that's the case, then I don't even realize I'm looking at men and discounting them because they're not the perfect partner, because they're not making that money, and therefore it's going to be disapproved of because as a child it was made so important, right? Maybe my parents were poor, maybe they were wealthy, it doesn't matter. Somewhere in there, the idea that this characteristic actually matters in a partner rather than just financial stability. Hey, I want to be with somebody who's, you know, not homeless, right? But we do this. This is just one aspect. There's so much to this, and this is such a great question. Anyways, so the whole perfect partner scenario comes from this state of dysfunction, from what you know, from what you've experienced. It doesn't come from a happy, healthy place. Because a happy, healthy place isn't really talking about certain characteristics. Like you might look at the guy and go, God, he's too short, he's too tall, his hands are too small, they're too big, his feet smell, he's whatever, you know? And on top of it, we get into the superficial shit that we start discounting somebody. But then we get into and I just had this conversation this morning, which is so funny, with a client earlier. And she was talking about these two different men that she's dating. And she was talking about how one of them, if you can go ahead and mute your phone, whoever just called in. Anyways, and I'm answering a question right now from earlier. But my client this morning was talking about these two different men that she's been dating, and one of them, it's like she is looking at him and finding all sorts of things wrong with him because he consistently contacts her. And so she thinks he's needy. She thinks there's something wrong with him. And the other guy is the opposite. He's what she's used to. Well, we went on two dates and he's kind of left it in my hands and he knows I'm going out of town this weekend, so I don't expect that he would message me. And she's got all these conditions and all these rules about how he's supposed to behave, but how he's supposed to behave is like an unavailable guy because that's what she's used to. She's used to being unavailable herself, right? And I'm pointing out all of these little things to her that she's doing that are rules of engagement. And she's seen the other guy as needy and something wrong with him, and it's not true. She doesn't know him. You don't know somebody, but the other thing we try to do when we meet somebody who's available and we're kind of on the border of, am I available or unavailable, is that we are so in tune to their behavior. We're so in tune, we're not even in tune to our behavior. We don't realize how closed we are. We only realize how closed we are when we're confronted with somebody who's available. And if I am with somebody who is available, I am basically having to face myself. I have to look at all the ways I don't accept myself. Because what happens is you have somebody who's treating you in a way that shows they're interested consistently, that is going to progress the relationship consistently, who wants your time, who wants to give you attention, who wants to be there for you. And it's not the picture-perfect partner like I was just describing, it's a normal human being. So when you have a normal human being as your date or perhaps the relationship you move into, this is going to inspire other feelings. You know, if I look at somebody and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been down this road of wanting a knight in shining armor, and now a normal guy shows up, but he's all these things as far as he's kind, he's generous, he's open, he's willing, okay? He's a different species. And I will have trouble with that. Even if I've done a lot of work, I will have trouble with it. And again, not in a way that says, oh my God, there's something really wrong with him, but it's about me. And it's about you who asked the question. And in asking that question, it's to look at all the ways you don't accept yourself. All the flaws you try to hide. Now is not the time to hide them. You want to develop a relationship with someone based on who you truly are, not on who you have tried to be. And a lot of us think that to become available, that we have to all of a sudden become a perfect version of ourselves, and we just do not have to do that. So if I put myself in that position, I can find all of my insecurities, all the ways I try to hide them, all the ways that somebody being consistent now threatens it. And why does it threaten me? Well, because I now don't have drama and struggle to distract me, like the question asked. We are used to having drama and struggle distract us. We're so, let me throw everything in, let me focus on the problems, let me not come up with a solution, you know, and we stay stuck in the problem. Because most dysfunctional, insecure attachment relationships are all about focusing on problems. Problems we create because that's what we're used to. Because if I don't create the problem, it might be boring. And if it's boring, I'm going to have to look at myself. And I don't mean boring like let me go to sleep, but boring in the sense that there is nothing going on that requires me to have a relationship talk every other day in terms of, okay, you know, we talked about this and now you're doing that and, you know, that kind of bullshit, which doesn't really work anyway. And we're used to focusing on all the things that don't work. So again, coming from the unavailable to the available, you're still going to look at the guy looking for problems, but you're not going to find those problems. So yes, you will create those problems if you're not aware. You really have to practice self-awareness if you want to have somebody available in your life. And what I mean is you have to practice the awareness of, I am a flawed human being. I have issues. He has issues. He's imperfect. Okay, first of all. Secondly, and again, I don't, let me back up a bit. I don't say this from the point of just recognizing this mentally. You have to feel it, right? You have to feel, hey, I have these flaws. You want to share your flaws. Hey, you know what? I have a propensity for anxiety. If the guy I'm dating doesn't have his words and actions match. And what's really cool about you is your words and actions match. And that's still kind of scary. And it's something I'm working on, right? To be able to say things like that, you can do that in a healthy relationship. And you're not rejected. And nor are you made to feel bad. And nor are you actually doing something against yourself. You're actually taking care of yourself. And you're sharing with somebody who has an interest in you, right? And you're not being perfect. And you want to get out of the place of how do I hold myself to a perfect ideal? What do I do? What am I doing? And that's the key. What am I doing? Where am I at? What is the trigger that is making me want to create struggle and drama, that's wanting to make me distance or wanting me to create a problem where there isn't one? What am I doing? That's where you want to get some clarity, what you're doing, because it just cracks me up. I don't know what it is, I'm telling you. It's like the universe says, hey, why don't you have about, you know, 5-6 people in your coaching practice have this problem, and then I've had to go through this problem myself because of my relationship and recognizing all the ways that I used to sabotage. We are used to struggle and drama for the other reason being not just expectations of a perfect partner or hiding our flaws, but a lot of times when we were growing up, the way we received love is pretty much what we carry forward. So if, let's say, you got in trouble all the time, that was to get attention because maybe you didn't get attention in any other way. And so you brought that forward, right? You continue to bring that forward because it's what you're used to and you're doing this unconsciously. You want to look at how you create drama and struggle in your life, in a relationship, because it's what you're used to. Not that it's per se the same situation, but you're creating drama and struggle to elicit the same sort of feelings, okay? So your feelings are important here because you want to pay attention to why am I wanting to create this feeling, you know, the feeling of almost losing somebody or getting this relationship to a place that's so fear-based and I've sabotaged the shit out of it. You know, getting it there, right? And what that actually means. So I know for myself that getting into a relationship with the person I'm in one with has required a lot of things that I never actually was challenged to do in the past. And I say challenged to because for me, my whole thing is I like to feel good. And I felt great on my own. I felt great dating. I was enjoying the shit out of dating when I met this guy because I used it as a learning experience to grow myself, you know, to go, okay, Tracy, can you show up and be authentic? Or are you going to show up how you used to on dates and like totally focus on the guy and what's going on with the guy, right? Instead of, well, how do I feel here? What's going on with me? And then I was paying attention. Am I trying to people please? Am I trying to show them I'm somebody different? Like all that kind of shit I used to do. And that's the kind of stuff I was paying attention to. So I really enjoyed it. So my point is, so doing all these things, I was breaking through areas always on a daily basis. I do this work. I do. I have to. Because it's become the standard in my life to constantly take emotional risk, to constantly feeling my feelings. Because the other way is to be stuck in my head thinking shitty, fucked up thoughts about my life and about relationships. And I just don't want that. I'd rather, because you're going to focus on something. So why not focus on your own growth? So, you know, I get into this relationship And for me, I had to really recognize how I felt around this person. And then it was like things like noticing, God, I'm smiling all the time around him. Oh, I'm laughing. Boy, this is easy. And it is easy. And not easy because he's people pleaser and I'm people pleaser, but easy because we share so much and we're both open. But I had to become more open in challenging myself with certain things like I've been talking about and going through where I still had walls because I hadn't been here before. And when you're in a new situation, I guarantee you, even if you've done a lot of work, you're going to be confronted with yourself. You're going to be confronted with these triggers that, let's say, somebody who's available gives off because they're just being available. And it's at that point, it's what you do with it. It's do I go into my old behavior and I react and I create a disaster? Or do I recognize the trigger, the reaction I'm having to something he's doing? Okay. And ask myself why I'm so attuned to him and reacting to him instead of paying attention to how I feel and how I want to feel and coming from there. And it can be anything. Like when I was talking to my client this morning, oh my God, and so many, oh God, I'm like having having flashbacks to all these conversations I've had recently. I have another client who is let's see, she is been divorced for quite a while. She has kids, and she doesn't like her job and many other things. And she's always been very action-oriented, totally action-oriented, smart woman, beautiful, you know, great personality, all that wonderful stuff. And she keeps telling me that she's surrendering, right? And I'm like, okay. And just in life in general. And I'm like, every time you don't surrender, every freaking time, and I'm telling all of you this, every time you don't surrender and you take action, it's the same shit, different day. Your well of action, I'm talking from a mental perspective, is going to be the same stuff. You're just repeating history over and over and over again. Okay? So the key is to get deeper with yourself, right? So, like this client of mine, I'm like, you've got to pull the reins in on just taking action because it's not emotionally inspired action. It's, I'm going to be a force of nature action, I'm going to make things happen. The bigger problem is when you're in this space, you look at everything around you, everything outside of you, as where issues are rather than inside of you because you're cut off from your inside. So this client has a guy who she's been attached to ever since we started coaching. I forgot how long it's been that she's had him in her life. And when we were talking last week, she goes, you know, I heard from all these different guys on Mother's Day, but I didn't hear from him. And I know he doesn't care. I know he doesn't love me. I know blah, 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 whatever. And I say whatever because it's just stupid. Not that she's stupid. It's just stupid that we get caught in these stupid stories. And we all do it. I've done it. And the stupid story is I am assuming, I am personalizing, and I am making a case against somebody. So once again, I can make him wrong, me right, I'm good, he's bad. And it's just not true. There's a big gray area in there, which is you can't see your own actions or how you create the situation you're in, or that you always have a choice, yet you choose not to take a choice that would be different. So she's complaining about all this. And I'm like, if you work with me, you don't get to spend a lot of time complaining. I spend time cutting you off. Because that's all details that don't even have any bearing on what's really going on with you. And I'm always about, let's get to what's really going on with you. Let's get to the deeper level. Because if we get to the deeper level, then you can see something. And she's grown. Trust me, she has grown a lot. So she's talking about that. But the other thing she's talking about was this guy that she met. Because I'm all about, if you're working with me, you're dating. You are doing something. Because that means you are creating an opportunity for growth. If you're not dating, you're going to grow more in your head than in your feelings, okay? So dating is always a good idea. because it's going to challenge you. And if you want to grow, this is the way to do it. So she's gone on 5 dates with this guy, this other guy. And it's just, and this is like my client this morning, and then my other client, like 5 other clients. And the question that I was sent that for this group, and this whole fucked up thing that we do, which is we are all attuned to what the guy's doing. Well, he's moving too fast. Really? Let him do what the fuck he's doing. You always have a choice. You don't make the choice him in trying to control him, but it's amazing how this keeps coming up in every session. But, you know, it's not about controlling him or his interest in you. Because when you haven't had availability, you're trying to scale back a guy's interest if he shows too much interest, because it's uncomfortable, because you never have experienced it before. And if you say you want healthy and happy, guess what? That means you get to get uncomfortable, because healthy and happy isn't a dude who's going to come in on a fucking horse and take you off into, you know, your new life. That's not what the love of your life, if you want to call it that, is going to be writing, okay? And he's not going to look like you think, and he's not going to be what you think. You don't know. Because if he's anything familiar, I guarantee you, you're just repeating the past. So anyway, so back to the behavior, you know, and she's wanting to control this man's behavior. Well, he's moving too fast, and he's futurizing. I'm like, so what? And how do you know that? And why are you drawing conclusions when you need to be going, how do I actually feel around this guy? What are my choices? Not what am I choosing to teach him, to train him, to get him to do what I want him to do, which is to stop giving me so much attention or stop thinking of me as somebody he'd actually want to be with, you know? Because what she's doing is she's wanting to create a struggle. She's wanting to struggle so that this guy is all about, well, you know, sorry, I don't want to be with you, or I'm going to, you know, I've lost interest. And then all of a sudden she's going to be like, no, come back, come back. And then she can chase him and she can have that stupid insecure attachment dynamic going on, right? Because now he doesn't want her. And then she can, you know, go about making it into this whole drama. And if he's available, he's going to be like, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't want to do this. And he's not going to engage. But that old struggle from childhood based on the old belief is what's driving her. And so I'm pointing this out to her, as I do to many of my clients who are in similar situations. It's all about you. The other person is a trigger. The other person has every right to be who they are and act in the way that they do. You have every right to decide for yourself where you're at and speak your truth, not in a way to control him or to create drama, but to instead go, okay, I feel like I enjoy time with him, so I'm going to share that with him, which for most of us with insecure attachment issues and our avoidance, that's a hard one. That's hard. Because what we're really saying when we do that is, I am going to make my life difficult because I'm used to it. I'm used to it. Difficulty, bring it on. Ease, what the fuck is that? So you want to have an awareness that it's going to be different and that will make it uncomfortable inside of you. Or as I told my client this morning, I said, you know, it's not going to be a smooth road in an available relationship. Not because it's the problems that are in the relationship that you're focusing on like you have in your dysfunctional relationships, but it's what it brings up inside of you. And that's what you want, because you want to break those walls down. You want it to be open. You want to be you. You want to surrender to it and be in the moment of it, whether it goes forward, backwards, whatever it does. But you want to be emotionally present to it. Because if you're not, then you're the one who's not having the experience. You're just trying to control things and keep them all in that safe little conditional place. You know, it's like I feel like my relationship, I have unconditional love in it, him and me. Because I have no interest in trying to control him. I have no interest in wanting him to show up differently. he told me early on, he goes, I'm going to fully express to you how I feel all the time. Not that he's like 24/7 expressing it, but that he wasn't going to hold back. He wasn't going to be kind of sort of giving me clues about how he would feel. He would be just telling me how he felt. And that was really new. And because of where I'm at in my growth, it just made me pause, not run, because I would have wanted to bolt. My God, I'll have to talk about that too. Anyways, I would have wanted to run in the past from everything about this relationship. Absolutely, like my hair was on fire. Because I would have made a bunch of accusations about him and how fucked up he is and how needy he is and how, and I'm saying fucked up because he's interested in me, okay? Yeah. And, you know, created all of this shit so that I could go, oh my God, I can't be with this guy. I got to get out of here. So you always want to know you're building a case. You're building a case because of you, not because of him, though. Or, you know, not because of her, depending on, you know, who you're dating or who's in your life. And so it's really interesting when you stop doing that and you bring it back to you. So I'll give you an example. So early on, I guess it was like about a month in, I slept over at his place for the first time. And we were going to have sex, and it did not go that way. It did, but it didn't. And and so I share this because this was such a great moment of wanting to run. And so I'm laying in bed, having trouble sleeping. If you're calling in right now, please hit mute. Anyways, so I'm in this place of going, oh my gosh, you know, we have a little erectile dysfunction here. Okay, if you're calling in, please mute. Anyways, when I was, I'm sorry, I keep losing my train of thought every time the phone does that. Okay, anyways, I was laying there and I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't keep seeing this guy. Okay, because remember, you're going to look for any excuse if they're available and you're teetering on availability. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can't have that. And it was this fear, right? This is old and I could feel it. And I'm like, Tracy. So it was in my head. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to go home and get in my old safe place and, you know, avoid this. And it was really funny because when you've done this work, what ends up happening is you have these initial thoughts and that's all they are. There's no gas in the engine to actually do all this dysfunctional shit. But you can still think it because you can still react. And so I was paying attention to the reaction and I went, okay, what's going on? Drop your focus and feel what the fear is. You know, so I did. I found it in my body and I sat there with it and I said, what's your other choice, Tracy? What's your other choice besides running? Because you're just looking for an excuse to run. What is it? And I went, huh. That's to actually speak up and say something to him instead of making it into World War III, into a reason to leave. And so, you know, when he woke up and my first words out of my mouth were, I'm scared, right? And I said this, and I never would have in a million years before because I would have been bolting out the door. So anytime there's been something that in the past would have triggered me into some kind of avoidant behavior, okay, I sit with it. And again, because I've done this work, I don't even go in the direction of sabotaging the relationship. I don't even make any movement that would create what I've created in the past, which is struggle and drama. I don't. It's gone. But the reaction is still there because I haven't been in a healthy relationship up until now. And so it's for me to work through. And that's what I did. And every time there's anything, and it can be teeny tiny, but I look for what feeling I have in my body because I don't want to take him personally. And I really don't. But once in a while, there's an old trigger that comes out of nowhere. And then that's my opportunity to go, okay, so I'm feeling this. What can I do here that's an emotional risk instead of doing what I've done in the past, or sitting here and swallowing it and pushing it under the carpet, because you don't want to do that. You don't want to hide out. So I know this has been a really long answer to the question, but you really want to give yourself a chance. You want to give yourself a chance so that you feel good and that you, in essence, are put in a place to grow. It's all about growth. So I can continue talking about this for the last 15 minutes, but I know that there are people that called in, and I'm not on my computer, so I can't even see. If you have a question, you can unmute yourself and ask me the question now. If you don't have a question, I can just keep talking about this whole being unavailable and then trying to date somebody who's available and what you run into. Okay. No, you can unmute for at least the next minute. Perhaps this is a universal topic. And it's funny because I've been, you know, I record the podcast about 2 months in advance. And what is funny about it is my boyfriend listens to it every time it comes out, all of it. And that's rather fascinating. And, you know, there's nowhere to hide, in other words. So, not that I don't mention these things to him, because I've talked about all these things with him. But I realize in working with my clients who are dating how much of a struggle it is to really change these patterns. Because you're so confronted with yourself and realizing that, oh, you mean usually when I'm in this relationship with a jackass, because that's what most people, well, people usually use all sorts of different terms, you know, for the people they're dating, right? Yeah, the really, you know, your dysfunctional relationship. Yeah, I've heard
it all. Can you hear me, Tracy?
Huh?
Can you hear me, Tracy?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I have a question.
Yes, who am I talking to?
Stephanie.
Oh, hey. Okay.
Hi.
Ask away.
Hey, well, you were going along with your story, and you said that you had told this guy that you were scared. So my question to you is, what was his response, and or were you thinking of what type of response that you wanted, or were you just open to accepting what he had to say, and what happened with that? Because that's what I get scared to speak up too, because I'm afraid of what, you know, I'm not going to get a response of what I want, but most likely they really don't even know what I wanted, but it's usually not what
right.
I want. But anyway, so what happened? You open
okay,
yourself,
so
you're vulnerable, so what,
yeah.
What happened?
And he's like, talk to me. What's going on?
Okay.
And that is pretty much what happened, because two things. One, I don't have an attachment to outcomes, and I've worked really hard to not have an attachment to an outcome. The other thing is I recognize that I was moving into new territory, and his reaction, which is he's so consistent, is always about wanting to talk about these things. And so I told him my fears and how I had wanted to run. And he just sat and he listened. And he was great about it. And he's
okay.
Still great. And so, you know, and it's interesting in talking to so many of my clients, right, who are in this position. In fact, I could read a text message I got from one of them this morning, because she started dating when she came to me, which is like about a month ago. She was not dating this person. There was a guy that she liked who didn't even live in her city, and had told her, hey, we're not going to have a relationship. But she had that whole sort of anxious obsession with him. Long story short, you know, she started dating because it's like, nope, you gotta start dating. You know, this guy's kind of put the kibosh on it. And I never tell people to get out of situations because everything to me is a learning experience. So she went on a date with this one guy who's available. So like she starts saying, I think it was like date two or three, oh my God, I kind of want him to cancel. I don't want to go out with him. Like she's going through this whole meltdown. And it's because he's consistent, he's available, and he's open. And so what she was finding is she was creating all this struggle and drama. And I said, you need to talk to him about it. Because two things. One, of course you want to know if this person's going to be available to you being, you know, vulnerable, insecure, you know, feeling all fucked up. Because if he's not going to be available to that, you don't want to continue a relationship with him anyway at some point, right? You're going to want to leave. So it's, you want to know up front, what am I getting into? Well, this guy, and she's been dating him now, I think a little over, whatever, like a month at this point. And she still has her moments and she still struggles, but she shares it with him. And because he's available, he has a different response than a guy who is not available. You know, unavailable people.
What does that mean, available? Does that mean that you go out a lot, that he consistently calls you, that he's not mean to you? I mean, I don't know.
Those are some of the things. Absolutely. The other thing is, he talks about progressing the relationship. Not that he's living, you know, a year in the future, but he talks about you as though you're becoming somebody important in his life. He's considerate, and when you bring some stuff up to him, they don't close down. You know what I mean? They don't close off. They don't go, oh, you're fucked up. Or what?
But I said, it's borderline then. But when I see those things, I also say, what is it in me that I must be that way, a certain way too? Because why am I attracted to this guy? He's a great guy, but he does not involve me, you know, doesn't talk about the future. We just live in the moment and everything. And for me right now, I guess that's okay. But
well, it depends. How do you feel about that? You know what I mean? You want to ask yourself, I must be having some kind of an issue somewhere, but where is it and what is it? And it can be conflicting, by the way. So on the one hand, it could be, yeah, I really want to be in the moment and live here. But on the other hand, there is this feeling maybe of insecurity because it doesn't feel secure for some reason, you know?
Right.
And so it's like, you know, we are walking contradictions with these fucked up beliefs.
Well, yeah,
because
I think if I had all these expectations back before, years ago, I had all these expectations of what I thought that the relationship should look like. So when you look at it that way, then, you know, so if I ask of him of certain things to be a certain way or do this or do that because that's what I want in the relationship, I feel like at this point in my growth that, you know, he's showing me who he is right now. And that's not, mm-hmm. that's not gonna change. I mean, he does have some soft spots. He is a good guy. But I know for me personally, down the line, I'm 52, divorced for, I think, 4 years now. But, you know, I like my time by myself, but eventually I'd like to have a companion that I, you know, can be with and not have to constantly entertain or, you know, just be with and enjoy time with. And I'm not certain that it's him. But I do love him. I care about him very much. But I've accepted that he is who he is. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
That's my take, I guess.
Well, okay.
But he's had all these expectations. So that's why I asked you, what did he say? What were you expecting? Were you expecting anything? What would have happened if he said something differently to you? I mean, obviously you were hoping for some type of response from him, right? We're only human.
Yes and no, because where I'm at in my own growth, because I apply all the shit I talk about, you know, to the best of my ability. You know, and that means I'm human. My whole thing is this authenticity, okay? So I'm what you call, I used to be a perfectionist, and sometimes there's still things that can be, oh, what are you doing there, Trace? Oh, that's really interesting. Why are you feeling the need to be perfect there, right? So with the situation, I've really come to understand, and this is like the biggest gift, that everything I do, and perhaps because I've been doing it with my business and I've been doing it with everything, it's this whole authenticity. It's not to pretend or try to show perfection or any of this other crap. And so I looked at it when I said this as a way to show my vulnerability and for me. Because everything, like when I coach people, everything I ask people to do is not necessarily to get a response or an outcome with somebody. It's so you change your own dynamic with yourself. And that was my goal was, okay, Trace, look it. You're not going to hide this. You're gonna say these things. Because in the beginning of relationships, in the past, oh, I'm like Paula Perfect. You know, I don't show anything except for I'm so happy and I'm sassy and I'm, you know, whatever. And
right.
and that's not a whole person. And how can someone fall in love with that? But
well,
but
I
going back to what,
whatever I thought they wanted me to be, that was my problem.
Right.
I molded
oh
into
my gosh,
whatever
yes.
with my ex.
Right.
I molded. I was constantly in my head all the time trying to think about what I needed to do to make sure that he loved me or whatever, you know.
Right.
So
I get it.
I mean, back to the authenticity thing. That's one thing I
yeah.
do like about this person is because, you know, if he doesn't want to spend time with me or doesn't have time or, you know, something else, if I ask him something directly, he will give me an absolute straight answer. And sometimes it's not something I like to hear, you know.
Right.
But he doesn't pussyfoot around and try to appease me, which I appreciate. You know, because that's how I am with other people, and I want to be treated that way. But you know, his gauge of doing things and my gauge are a little bit different. But I think he's a workaholic, so I can't take it personal. I just have to figure out if that's what I want in my life and how long I'm going to let it, you know, continue.
And also why it's comfortable to you, and
right, right.
you know, what's familiar and what is it about him that makes me be here anyways. Like, we can love people, we don't have to be with them. But going back to what you were saying, so this is most of the people I work with. So most of the people I work with, including myself, you know, we're mostly introverts and we have some extroverted qualities, let's say, right? So one of the things, yeah, so one of the things, and everybody, you know, varies in age. I'm the same age as you, by the way. So I'm like, I understand the whole age thing. What's funny is, before this guy came in my life, I did quite a bit as far as getting ready for it. And one of the things I did was I wrote these letters. And in my letters, one of them was, I want a guy who's either younger than me or looks younger than me, you know, like appears younger than me. And he's actually 2 years older than me or 2.5 years older than me. And he looks like he's 40. Okay. And it's just
okay.
funny. It's just, it's so funny because what I've learned is our scarcity, the way we look at possibilities as black and white, you know, like I've got to take this guy because if, and I'm not talking about me at this point, but I mean, we'll say this to ourselves.
Yeah,
I've got to
yeah.
take this guy because there's nothing else because I'm older or I'm this or I'm that. Right. And
mm-hmm.
it's bullshit. It's all that mm-hmm. scarcity because as somebody, like I have another client, I have a lot of clients that are in this, you know, these different places of dating where she has literally been, I need my space. I need my space all the time. But she decided she wanted a healthy relationship. And so she's had to really work through what makes her separate, what makes her go back to her safe place. And as you break through these walls with yourself, you tend to find you don't really need your old safe place, like her safe place being where she lives, right? And separate
right.
from her boyfriend and being very controlling and conditional with him. And he's more available than she is because I'm telling you, people that are available, they don't react to all of this. They kind of look at you and go, oh, honey, I don't want you to feel that way. Not that that makes it all better, but, you know, I definitely want you to know I'm all in. It's like the directness isn't, hey, yeah, I only, you know, can give you this or I can only give you that. When there's conditions like that, that's not somebody who's available. Like you're talking about a guy who's a workaholic, he's not available because it's an
right.
excuse. Because if somebody wants to really be in, they're not going to use that as an excuse, but then it's a great opportunity for you to reflect it back to you, which in what you've told me already is a reflection of what you're willing to do. And so there's always going to be pain associated with it because it's like somebody said to me, they go, you know, I have this going on and that going on. You know, they got all this stuff, let's say, in their life. And what they're basically saying is all of this stuff, you know, my kids, the this, the that, and I don't have time for relationships. So can't I just have somebody I go out with when I want and have sex with when I want? Well, that would be great if you're a fucking robot, but you're not.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
sometimes
what you
it feels
gotta look
like
at.
That, and then other times it doesn't. I don't know.
It, well, of course,
because, you
because
know,
that's
I could
what
be
these.
The same way. Maybe that's what I want.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying. But that's what you're putting out there too. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're a reflection
right.
of that. And so you want to look at that because it's not a happy place. It's a comfort zone because you're used to it and you do get something from it. As human beings, we don't do anything unless there is some kind of benefit. If there's no benefit, you're not going to freaking do it. Even though it's painful, you're getting some benefit. You're getting a little bit
yeah.
of love. You're getting your breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he actually, we don't hardly ever text. I've been with the guy on and off for 5 years, and he's way older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. But anyway, he sent me a text. He's not really emotionally, like, doesn't emotionally reach out, you know, like that. And, you know, he could have been where he wanted it. But what was more interesting was how I responded to it, which kind of got me to know myself a little bit more. And he said the other night, because I don't stay over there at
mm-hmm.
night. I go home. He posted that we should plan some sleepovers this week. And, you know, instead I thought my response would be, oh, wow, that'd be so cool, awesome, you know, he's opening up or whatever. And it actually took me aback, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow, he might actually be feeling some feelings now. And what
yep.
am I going to do with that? That's my reaction. That's what my reaction was.
Of course.
So
because fantasy, fantasy is safer.
Does that
you
mean
know
I
mean?
Have to step up and
yep. So yeah, you have to step up because no matter what happens, and I'm saying you have to if you want to grow, you have to step up and you have to allow yourself to surrender. And I mean surrender like getting out of your head.
Being
really, and it means you can go slowly. Like I always say, slowing it down because our heads move so fast. But slowing it down and being in the moment emotionally and connected and going, well, how do I feel right now? You know, and being there. And you want to keep doing this.
I like you're getting out of the head and getting your heart. I like that.
Well, because you're talking
you
to somebody.
I psychoanalyze all the time, and I focus in my head instead of my heart and what my gut says, my intuition.
Right. And a lot of us do, and pretty much everybody I work with, including myself, used to constantly live in their head. And it doesn't do you any good because you're drawing from the same well. You're not drawing new water. You're not getting anything new. And so it's an opportunity. So use the opportunity, you know, use it for your growth and look at it from that place. But you also want to be aware that fear is going to come up. And your fear is going to do a couple of things. Your fear is going to, first of all, look at him as the issue. Okay. That's going to be one thing because you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and your subconscious doesn't like getting out of its comfort zone. So it's going to be that fear. And then it's going to be the fear of, can I survive this? Because I don't want to be engulfed or overwhelmed by his emotions. That's scary. You know, and the fear of getting hurt. What if he does this and I open up and he leaves? I mean, this is fear operating, and that's only fear. It's not reality. But it becomes a reality because if we react to it and our actions come from that place, then we're going to sabotage and we're going to be moving away from our authenticity. So have awareness of that. And I just looked at the time and I have to, I get a 10-minute break for the next couple hours. So, but anyways, I'll put the recording up. You know, we thought about putting it in the Facebook group, but somewhere that's convenient. You know, maybe what we'll do is we'll just send a link to the actual recording out so then everybody can have it. But I really appreciate you calling in and asking and continuing the conversation because my hope is that this is really helpful for you.
Yeah, you're awesome, Tracy. I mean, like I said before, every time I think of something, a question, or have you the next podcast, it fills it. And we got so much stuff. My dad was the same way. And, you know, I was married and I mean, just, we got a lot where it's awesome. And I just think you're great. I listen to you every single day. I'll go back to the ones that I want to listen to and just keep it coming in so I can just have it become part of, you know, who I am and my belief system changes. So
that's awesome.
I'm
glad.
So much.
You are so welcome. Yeah, I have a belief that what I'm doing, it's just this weird synchronicity, but, you know, whenever I put something out, I don't know. Sometimes I don't even know where the motivation is. You know what I mean? Like, is it my experience?
Well, we have to redo our childhood belief systems that we were exposed to and absorbed in. That's what's the angst with me is I don't hate myself. I don't, but I just want to just be a different person inside from the inside out.
Of course.
Can you just help with that?
I'm so glad, because the thing is, most of us don't realize that a lot of what we try to do is to feel good. But when you haven't had any examples of feeling good as a kid, you don't really have the tools or even understand on that deeper level how to get there. And it's just so funny to me how much time we spend outside, right, trying to manipulate and control everything so we feel good, and then we never freaking feel good. So it's about, you know, everything you let go of is really shit that doesn't belong to you. You know, it's conditioning that is bullshit and you don't need, and it gets easier. Just know that. It gets easier. So keep stepping through it. Keep stepping into it.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
You are welcome. Okay, everybody. I'm going to go. And if you have any questions after, please send me an email. Have a good one. Bye-bye.